rehashing of what we did last week. Samuel did his first address in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we talked about this last week, that Samuel spake unto the house of all the house of Israel and said, if you do, this is verse 3, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, if you want to do that, if that's what you want to do, if that's what our nation would like to do, and if you want to get back to the Lord, and I believe this is for every single one of our lives, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. And we talked about this last week, that there's things that come in between us and the Lord. There's things that come in between us and church and us and God's house and us and what we ought to do for the Lord. And Samuel's telling, and I believe this is good for all of us, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away. Put away, get rid of those things that separate you from the Lord. Get rid of those things that would take us away from God's purpose for our lives. And prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines or out of the hand of your enemies. And we talked about that in length last week, about how the Lord wants to help us. See, we got in America, I really believe this with all my heart. I really believe this is the problem in America, in our lives, in our homes today. The very first thing is pride. I believe that with all my heart. I believe pride is something that has tore us up. I believe the thought process that we are so much better than everyone else, even in our own individual lives, we get to this point where our way is the right way. Our way's got to be it. Our way is the right way. We're going to hold on to that. I believe pride. I spent 2 weeks on it. My Sunday school class went down to 25 people because of pride. I just believe that with all my heart. We talked about it, and it almost like the Lord showed that that is the truth. We just are so full of ourselves today that we just literally get to this next point. And this is the second part, and I believe this is a symptom of pride. I talked with Art Carpio, and he travels a little bit around this nation. And the missionaries that I've been talking to lately, I'm trying to get the pulse of what's going on in the churches. It's crazy. Some of the things that are going on in Baptist churches today are just crazy. It's amazing to watch. The pride has come where man's going to do it. Amen. Where man is going to, this is how we get crowds today. We're so concerned about filling the building. We're so concerned about the big numbers. We're so concerned about having all these things that we have come up with programs and we have come up with plans. God is not involved with those plans, mind you, but that's what's happened. We're involved. That pride has brought us to a position that we no longer need God. And as I talked to Brother Carpio, I asked him, I said, what do you think of America, the biggest problems are? And I've had this thought in my head. He says, it just seems to me like America doesn't need God anymore. We've gotten to the position where I'll make my money. Amen. I'll make my house payment. I'll make my car payment. I don't need God for everyday life. Okay. Now, I brought this up to you several times, but this is what this is talking about with the nation of Israel at this moment. They got themselves to a point of pride. How many have ever heard, I'm going to worship God on my own terms? Uh-huh. How many people have told? That's because they don't need God anymore. Well, we don't have to come to Sunday school because we don't need God. I'm not talking about me being a Sunday school teacher. Please don't misread me. That's not my point here. My point here is, if you needed God, you would need as much God as possible.
That's right. Amen.
Tell me I'm wrong. And the reason that we don't need God is that we're so full of pride that we don't need God anymore. We can do what we want to do. We can handle things in our own way. And we don't need God anymore. Because we don't need God, we're going to do things on our own because we're so filled with pride that God doesn't want to take care of us anymore. God, it's unnecessary. You got a lot to deal with, God. I'll take care of this on my end. I know I bring this up a lot. Mary Reinhart, 155 years old, sitting out in the parking lot. Sitting out in the parking lot, praying to God to take her home safely. Hey, listen, she needs that because she only drove 6 miles an hour. I'm not sure her transmission ever shifted.
And if you got behind her, you saw people racing out of here 100 miles an hour just to get in front of Miss Mary. I tell you, no pass zones, you'd be in trouble. But she knew this. She knew that she needed God. And here's Israel, and I tell you, the more I study this, the more I've come to realization that our problem in our lives is pride. And that pride takes us away from a need of a holy God that loves you and wants to help you. You know how good God is? You know how wonderful God is? Can I show you the transition of a prideful people? This is Israel, but I'm going to tell you, if this doesn't spell out America today, we don't need God, we need Obamacare. Right? I mean, think about this. This is where we don't need God, we need a government program. No, we need God. And we've got away from that. When we came over here on the boats and decided we're going to start a new nation where we can worship God, we needed God then. We needed God when the folks didn't make it past 40 years old. We needed God. Now we need Cleveland Clinic. And there's nothing wrong with the hospitals. Well, there's a lot wrong with hospitals, but you understand what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with going to the hospital, but you better take God with you.
That's right. Amen.
There's nothing wrong with the things that, but I'm going to tell you, God loves you so much, and God desperately, desperately wants to be with you. God wants you to call on Him. God wants you to need Him. Listen, why doesn't God come down in a great way? Because you don't need Him to. You don't need Him to. I mean, I want my kids to need me as a dad. And by the way, we say that, oh, well, the problem in America is the family. True. Lack of a family. All those things. But do you know that? I personally believe that comes from pride. I'm going to do things my own way. I'm going to do them my own way. Why do you have a family without a daddy? Because you didn't seek God. If you sought God, you'd have had a dad. Now, can you lose dads along the way? Sure. But by and large, families don't have that anymore. Why? Because they don't need God. They don't care about what God has to say. We're going to do it our own way, and that's what comes from pride. Now, it's amazing to me how you watch this nation and watch them go to serve their other gods. They go to serve whatever they want to do because they want to serve God on their terms. They want to do things on their terms, and they're going to seek God on their terms in their way. That's pride every time. We don't need them. By the way, I can tell you they don't need God, Brother Mike. I can tell you they don't care about Him coming down. Because can I ask you a question? Do you think that any of those other gods ever came down? Think about that for a moment. They never came down. Why? They're cement. They never came down. They're wood. The only time a god ever came down was Dagon when they set the ark next to it and Dagon fell face forward. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Their gods never helped them. Their gods never, why can they continue to worship that God then? Think about this with me. Can you help me? They continue to worship those gods because they don't need them. If they needed God, then they would stop worshiping them because God was never there for them. But our God, the God, Almighty God, King of Kings, Prince of Peace, that God would always come down. And if they needed Him, He would come. If they needed Him, He showed Himself. If they needed Him, He gave great miracles. If they needed Him, He always came through. We don't need Him anymore because of our pride. If you look at we're in chapter 7, Samuel says, prepare your hearts unto the Lord, serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Need Him, and He'll help you. And the children of Israel did. They put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together. They said, we have sinned against the Lord. Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together, they went down there to go fight them. Children of Israel said unto Samuel, verse 8, we need God. This is what it says. Cease not to cry unto the Lord of our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. We can't do it. They're too much for us. We need God. So God came. Do you see the pattern here? We need God. God came. We got rid of all the other gods because Balaam and Ashtaroth were not helping us fight the Philistines. That's obvious. So Samuel says, hey, listen, turn your hearts unto the Lord. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Need him, and he'll help. And he does. Now look at this. Samuel took a sucking lamb, offered it as a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. We need God. That's what this is talking about all the time. You see in the verse 10, a great thunder comes down. The Lord discomfited the Philistines, and they were smitten before Israel. All the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-kar. Samuel took a stone, set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Remember that you needed God. This is a memorial saying, remember that you needed God. Amen? In your lifetime, remember that you needed God. Brother Mike, don't ever forget that you needed God. Don't ever forget that those times that you were sick and those times that you were down, you needed God. You needed God because you couldn't pull through. Men couldn't help you, but God helped you. Remember that in your life. There's always been a time when you needed God. At the very, very least, you needed God when you got saved. If you've been good on your own ever since salvation, you needed him for salvation. And by the way, if you've been good all on your own since your salvation, you're full of pride. Because you need God every day. It's not that difficult to understand. If you need God, he'll help you. He does it here. All throughout the scripture, if you need God, he'll help you. Now, as you look at this, we're making up a memorial. Verse 13, and I want you to see this. I want you to see this because the transition to me is interesting. The transition to me from we need God to what comes next is amazing to me. Watching a nation go through this is interesting to me. And if you'll be honest, not only do nations go through this, but people go through this. Now look at this. The Philistines were subdued. All throughout the scripture, Philistines always are the enemy. Spiritually the enemy, all here they're actually the enemy. But all throughout the scripture, if you're looking for a spiritual application of the Philistines, they are the enemy of God. Amen? Now, look at this. So the Philistines were subdued. Why? Because God was needed. God helped. Right? Did the men do it? You got to be honest. Honestly, the men had nothing to do with it. It was a great thundering from the Lord. The Lord took care of the Philistines. The men did not do it. It was God. Now look at this. So they came no more. The enemy has been pushed back. So they came no more into the coast of Israel. Look at this now. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Why? Because they needed God all the days of Samuel. Now, who kept the Philistines back? Who kept the enemies away? They needed God. Who was their leader at this time? But Samuel being a man of God, God was their leader. Samuel didn't do anything that God didn't want him to do. Samuel didn't say anything that God didn't want him to say. So at this time, Israel was led by God. Where were the enemies? Outside of their coasts. Are you starting to tune in? Are you starting to understand what I'm trying to get across to you? If you allow God to lead, he keeps the enemies out of your coasts. Now you'll say, no, that's not true. I've had things come in my life, brother. Matter of fact, preacher, you preached a message on Job, or Job was doing a great job. And the Lord allowed the devil to come in and tear him up. You know, I believe this with all my heart. I believe that if you consistently need God and consistently understand that it's God that's helping you, I believe God will consistently help you and God will consistently meet your needs. For a moment in time, I don't know if Job got to the position where God was showing the people around him that there is a God. I don't know if the people around him started to maybe not believe in God as much. I don't have all the answers for that, but I know God is righteous, and I know God did the right thing. Here's the key. In our lives, I said in our lives, I'm looking at you. I'm not looking at the person next to you. You need God. God will help you. Not that you need a raise. Nothing wrong with a raise. Not that you need a new car. Nothing wrong with a new car. But that you need God. All the days that Samuel was there telling the people of Israel, this is what, that's why it's good to go to church. Because the preacher tells you. That's why people don't like it. Because the preacher tells you. If God be true and every man a liar, and the preacher preaches what God tells him to preach, and by the way, there's preachers out there that don't. But if God tells the preacher tells you, and you take that home and say, God, put this in my life, help this to apply to me, I promise you God will, and God will help you. Our problem is, we come to church, we hear what God's man has to say, but we're not prayed up before we come, we're not studied up before we come, we haven't read, we haven't talked to God at all, and because of those things, we're getting to a position of, I don't need God. Do you see what I'm getting at? Everything revolves around pride. I don't need God. If I needed God, I'd have read about him this morning. I'm just being honest. If I needed God, I would have talked to him this morning. If I needed God, I would have stopped for a moment and said, you know what, I really don't want to go through the rest of this day without God. Does God allow bad things to come in our lives? Because a lot of people get bitter over that. He does. He does. He does. Bad things happen. The Tower of Siloam fell on those people. God didn't say, oh, well, because they were sinners above all else, that's why. No, that's not true. I don't know why bad things happen. God's got that all under control. But understand this. I sometimes wonder if God doesn't bring bad things into our life to bring us back to a good God. I just wonder. Here's Israel. All the days that they needed God, God was there. All the days. They got rid of the other gods and they served him and worshiped him only, needing him. I don't know what your God is today. I hope and pray that it's the God of gods. Now, if you look at this, there's a transition that happens here. I think, this is just my humble opinion, I think that the days of rest got to the people. The days of comfort got to the people. The days of no trials got to the people. You say, that's dumb. You'd think it'd be dumb. Wouldn't it be nice to have days go smoothly for a while? But you know the problem with smooth days is to a sinner? We get itchy. And we take those smooth days and turn it into we don't need God anymore. God must love me. So therefore, I don't have to have conversation with him because these are the good days. There's nothing worse than having a great week to a Christian because we stop talking to God. If you have that personal relationship with the Lord that's really, really good, he wants to hear from you. It's difficult sometimes to just make something up to talk to God about if things are going well. We've only got so many missionaries to pray for. But in all honesty, praising God for a good week, isn't that wonderful? Look what happens here. All the days that Samuel was there, the Lord was against the Philistines. All the days. Look at this. The cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored, from Ekron even unto Gath. The coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites, not because the Amorites wanted it, but because God gave it to the Israelites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Now look at this. Here comes a transition. This is amazing to me. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel, to Gilgal, to Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. First circuit riding preacher, there he is. His return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. And it came to pass. Now this is interesting to me. That Eli, if you remember, we talked about Eli, which was the mentor to Samuel. What did Eli's sons do? Bad. I mean, let's sum it up. Bad. Here comes Samuel. And the Lord was irritated with Eli for not judging his sons. listen, I don't care who's doing bad. It's just bad. Don't because it's your child, it's not bad. No, it's bad. Okay? Bad is bad. And these were associate pastors. By the way, worst thing in the whole wide world is an associate pastor, just to let you know. Because they can destroy a church. They can destroy a church. Why? And this is what it boils down to. It's hilarious to tell you. Here it is. Do you know why associate pastors destroy churches? They get full of pride, and they don't need God. There it is. I believe I've put my finger on it. In your life, here it goes. There's the transition. God's given them peace. God's given them rest. No more enemies. Why do we only need God when there's an enemy? Here it is. I mean, this is it. Why do we only need God when there's a struggle? Why do we only need God when it's hard? You know, it's impressive to me that a 94-year-old lady prayed to God to get her home safely. There's no battle there. No harm there. I believe Mary could have ran into a tree and not been hurt. But here we have your life, my life too. Where it's amazing to me enough that good days mean no God. Boy, it got quiet. Good days mean no God. Then we have a transition, and I watch this transition too. Good days, no God. Bad days, at the beginning, curse God. Huh? I'm a good person. I've done all this right. I just had rest a little bit ago. God, why are you doing this to me? Then you come to the realization, oh, I know why. Because I didn't need you. I wasn't talking to you. I wasn't reading about you. And here we've got the people of Israel that... Why would you want to switch leaders now? I mean, since the days of Samuel, no problems. Since the days of Samuel, no Philistines. Nobody's dying in war. Praise the Lord. Why would you want to switch leaders now? But look at this. It came to pass when Samuel was old. Oh, well. Yeah, the preacher's getting up there in years. Oh, don't fall into that trap. Let me help you a little bit here now. Preacher's getting up there in years. He can't do what he used to do. Let me tell you something. Our man of God is our man of God. I don't care how old he gets. That's our man of God. Till the Lord sees fit that he's not the man of God anymore. He's the man of God. Be very careful not to fall into that trap. Well, he can't do it like he used to. Yeah, but God can. Don't get into that position. I tell you, associate pastors all across the country. And some of it may be true. Go ahead. But you better take that to the Lord. Amen. Just a thought. Just a thought. There's a lot of young whippersnappers that couldn't hold the preacher's socks. Oh, well, they're more dynamic. But they're not our pastor. You go across the country, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never find a man that loves his people more. Ever. And that's sometimes what people use against my preacher. Because loving somebody means telling them what's up. You don't love me. You told me I'm a meanie. That's because you're a meanie.
That's right. Come on, amen.
Well, I don't like my preacher anymore. He told me something. I was doing something wrong. That's because he loves you and you're doing something wrong.
That's right, amen.
That's tough to admit. Good morning. Here it is. Get back to Samuel. Here it is. So you got Samuel being old. He made his sons judges over Israel. Now I'm gonna tell you this right now. I'm gonna zone you in. It came to pass when Samuel was old that who made? I want you to notice this word here. That who made his sons? Samuel made his sons. I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake that Samuel made his sons, not because they're his kids, but that God wasn't involved. Let me help you. No associate pastor should want his pastor to make him an associate. Never. And let me tell you, I've been there. The desire should be that God makes you who you are. Now, why? Why? And it's very simple. Because you need God. Now, it's real simple this way, because if you have preacher make you an associate pastor, by the way, God speaks through him, but you ought not look to him. You ought to look to the God of heaven working through him. Amen. This is why. Because when something goes bad, and it will, you'll blame the man of God, not the God of the man. In your life, and boy, I tell you, I've seen this 8,000 times in the years that I've been here. You start a ministry because you feel that you should start the ministry. It goes bad and you blame Dad. Well, the preacher didn't give me the funds I needed. I don't think he's responsible for that. Here's what we have in our lives. We have got to need God. We have got to come to, and here's Samuel, who was a great man of God. Great man. But then he says, this is what I'm going to do. So he does it. And by the way, his sons weren't worthy of that position. Eli made his sons weren't worthy of that position. And I'm just speaking, they weren't worthy. But Samuel looks at, well, that's my babies. That's my boys. That's my boys. Let me explain something to you. If I start to go off the path, he needs to fire me. I'm his son-in-law. I'm his son. I mean, I'm his family. I'm married to his daughter. But if I go off the path, he needs to fire me. Why? Because that's what God would have him to do. I've seen preachers, no preachers, that have put their family in positions and put people in positions that were the lowest of the low. But because their family, and you know why preachers pick their family? Can I help you out a little bit? Because you stink. What? Let me help you a little bit. They have a great trust in family not to stab them in the back. Can you just stay with me for a minute? Don't leave this building. They have a great trust in family not to stab them in the back. They can confide in their family where they can't confide in other people normally. They give leeway because they've had the leadership in their family for a long time. He was my leader in the home long before he was my leader in the church house. You see what I'm getting at? So he has this leadership position already established. However, and by the way, it was by the grace of God that he ever tried me out in the first place. When I took over the youth, I barely could recite John 3:16. But God must have told him something. So here's the day. Here's the day. I start out to serve him. That's the wrong person. For 3 years, I served my dad. No doubt about it. And I've admitted that. I've told you that. That was wrong for me to serve my father-in-law. Here's these boys that should have never been put in position. Why? Because they didn't need God. I came to a position after 3 years of serving him that I said, you know what, this ain't working. I need God. I started to need God, and God started to do great things. Now, these boys have been put in these positions. It's amazing that Samuel watched Eli be judged for this very same thing. He was there, right? He made his sons judges, verse 2. The name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways. They did whatever they wanted to do. Do you know why they did whatever they wanted to do? Pride. They did not need God. I know this is sour to your ears, but you need God. I said, you need God. In every facet of your life, you need God. And by the way, he wants you to need him. Why haven't you seen a miracle? You don't need one. That's as simple as it is. That's the equation. When you need deliverance, God gives deliverance. When you need hope, God brings hope. When you need help, God brings help. If you don't need those things, why would God bring them? Quiet. This is so simplistic. His sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre. They wanted to get wealthy as preachers. Wrong employment. A good preacher will never be wealthy because he always gives more than he gets. That's the God's honest truth. If you're a good man of God, you'll be a giver. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that wouldn't give. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that wouldn't help. A dime for a preacher that has his wallet so fastened to his pocket that it's never been out to see the sun. I wouldn't give you a dime. By the way, when I came here, I was one of the stingiest people in the whole wide world. My preacher helped me to help to show me how to give, helped to show me how to be generous. Now I love it. I love giving. Check me out if you want to check me out. I love giving. Didn't love giving when I got here. But thankfully, the Lord showed me through him that you should give. But they were after lucre. Now let me ask you a question. If you're after lucre, are you a giver? Nope. Because if you're after lucre, you're a taker. Right? Oh, let's just get down to earth today, shall we? Look at this now. His sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Well, preacher, Colton says, preacher, I'll be willing to give $1 million to Bethel Baptist Church to get that building started. And if you will, I'd like to meet you out in the parking lot after. But preacher, you got to stop preaching against the homosexual crowd. Wait a minute, wait. I know we all groan, but preachers across America would allow that. Let me help you in your giving, if you ever do. Let me help you in your giving. If you give something to the Lord, it's amazing to me how people want their name on a building, or they want their name somewhere, or they want to be recognized for it somewhere. If you're going to give to God, then why are you worried about men thanking you? That's one of my biggest kicks. We're going to give to God as long as you make the carpet green. Then you're not giving to God. You're giving to get green carpet. I'll give to the chairs, but I'm going to pick the color. I'll give to God, but you better put it better be the Sievert Gymnatorium. I'll give, but you better make sure you recognize. Then you're not giving to God. You're giving to get. And by the way, let me help you out. We'll take your money. I don't care why you give it. We'll take it because we're going to let God do something with your filthy lucre. Amen. That's dumb. Well, preacher had a man call him, won the lotto. No, he didn't call him. He called someone else because, he called someone else. He won the lotto. Wanted to give a lot of money to the church. Church said, no. Because it was won from the lottery. We don't want that filthy lucre. Hogwash! If Jimmy Hoffa drops a bag of money in our church and you knew Jimmy dropped it, I'm taking the money. I don't care who it's from. Amen. Why? Because we can let God use it.
That's right.
Well, that's terrible. No, you're full of pride. You're full of pride. I'm only going to take the money that comes from God. You're stupid. God brought it. Quit being so full of pride. Take what you get and use it for God. Idiot. Turned aside after filthy lucre, verse 3, and took bribes and perverted judgments.
No.
But if you win, no. Anyway. And perverted judgment. Now listen, a lot of times we'll pervert judgment for far less than money. A lot of times we'll pervert judgment for far less than money because we've got friendships, or we've got ties, or we've got pride in our lives that we can understand. We know the judgment of God better, and because this person did it, we'll go ahead and pervert that judgment. Even though God was dead set against it, but I know that we can do this and it'll be all right. That's pride. See, these boys were so full of pride that they felt that they could take this money, it would have no effect on what God wanted. Look at this now. And it wasn't the money. It was what they did with the money and how they used the money to pervert judgment. By the way, do you know what judgment they were perverting? They were perverting God's judgment. God's judgment. I don't care how much money you give me, the Bible doesn't change. Then, after all this, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old. We're full of pride. That's what it is. We're full of pride. Why can't an old man be a pastor? Why? Tell me why. God is God, no matter the age of the man. I understand that sometimes men get older and they know when they need to do it, by the way. I don't think we need to instruct them on when. Now, God did that back in the Old Testament, only up to 50 years old. Why? Because they were hauling the tabernacle around. You get an old man today, he's got more on the ball than you do. No way. Yes way. I know I'm young. 44, I do not have it all on the ball. I do not. And I know the gray hairs in this have a lot more into it than I do, and they know more than I do. If you say you've got it all on the ball, you're full of pride. Just a thought. And said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Well, fire the sons, keep the old man. Amen? No. This is not what they asked for. Look at this. Now make us a king. Do you realize that I just went just a few verses back? God has kept them enemy free. Huh? God has kept the Philistines out of their borders all the years of Samuel to this point. There's a lot of years here. This isn't 2 years. This is a lot of years. That God has kept them enemy free. No wars, no battles, no hurt, no deaths in war. God has kept the enemy at bay. How long has God kept the enemy at bay in your life? Then the transition comes where because God has kept the enemies at bay, we must be a great people. Look at America. How long has God kept the enemies of America at bay? Think with me now. Help me. How long? We don't need God anymore. We don't need God anymore. Why? Because we're America. I'm an American. I don't need God. You are an American. It was started by God. You need God. Now our enemies are starting to get us on our own shores. Tell me I'm wrong. Why? Because we don't need God anymore. We don't need God. Give us a king. So he gives us Obama. What a sense of humor God has. You cannot deny what God is teaching the people here. You cannot deny that God's looking down on his people. They say, give us a king. They say, give us a king. Why, Samuel? Because you're old. Why, Samuel? Because your kids aren't serving God. Why, Samuel? Because you're not doing... Has the enemy come? Listen, listen. Samuel, great preacher. Great preacher, circuit rider, man. He went to all those, I showed you, all those places and judged. You know what that judging was? That judging was preaching. He gave him God's word. This is what you ought to do. Here he's riding to all these places. His two boys are messing up. Had the enemy come? Come on now, help me. Has the enemy come? Not in all the days of Samuel. His sons were screwing up. Yes. Samuel was getting older. Yes. Had the enemy come? Oh, Samuel hadn't changed. He was old. But Samuel hasn't changed. God is still keeping the enemy at bay, not Samuel. Samuel was still doing, although his sons were messing up, Samuel was still the man of God. They were still following God. Look at what God says. The people come, well, we're doing a great job. Give us a king. We went over this when I was teaching about the kings. But here's the transition. The transition from a man of God using God to keep the enemies of God away from the people of God. Right? Look at this. Behold, verse 5, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. I don't want to be like all the nations. What's the battle cry today out in the world? Let us be more European. I don't want to be European. Amen. I want to be American. I don't want to be like the other nations. I want to be like my nation. These people are saying, by the way, the greatest nation on the world to this point is Israel. The greatest nation in the world. So they're saying, let us be less. Why do we want to apologize for being greatness? Why do we want to apologize for a nation that's led by God? Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. The thing displeased Samuel. Well, sure it did. He knew his people didn't need God anymore. The thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Look at what God says. The Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. I wonder if God was choked up here. I know God knows what's coming. But the God that delivered you through all your issues, the God that brought you to this church and this place in your life, the God that has kept all the enemies at bay, the God that has loved you and helped you and taken care of you, that God was rejected. And he went ahead and let the people have what they asked for. Give us a king. Give us a man. Give us that person. Maybe somebody we can see. Maybe somebody we can put our eyes on. Maybe somebody we can look to. Look at what he says. The thing displeased Samuel. The Lord, in verse 7, said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Give us a man. Give us a man to be our God. Give us a man to be our king. Give us a man that we can look to. You know, it bothered me more than anything else when President Obama was elected that they started making posters with his face on it, and underneath it said hope. And I thought about, you know, the people probably do. Hope in a man. And I've got to be honest with you, that's never what God had wanted. God always wanted to be in charge. God always wanted to reign. God always wanted. But people got so full of themselves that we no longer need God. Matter of fact, we're getting to the point now where it's way beyond that. We're getting to the point now where we're rejecting God vocally. We're rejecting God right out front. We're rejecting God saying, we don't need God. Matter of fact, we don't want God. And here we have this nation. Here we have these people. The thing displeased Samuel. But the Lord said, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. These people, all the things I've done for them, and this is what they do to me. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, why this is, and this is the battle cry for the preachers. This is the battle cry for the preachers. You ought not talk politics in the pulpit. Look, what does God say? Look at this. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Don't ever talk hogwash. Separation of church and state, my eye. The preacher should still be telling the presidents what to do by the word of God, not by the word of man, but by the word of God. Amen. If you let the preachers in there, we wouldn't have abortion. You let the preachers in there, we wouldn't have to worry about prohibition. We'd get everybody saved and they'd stop drinking alcohol. If you let the man of God to have a little bit of hope in there, let the God of the people of the world come down in a special way, we'd have that America again. Separation of church and state. Let me tell you something. We ought to be handing out flyers that tell what these politicians believe in. So we're more informed on how to do things. By God! I hate it when the preacher talks. I don't think they ought to talk politics every single day. Please don't misread me. I don't think, matter of fact, I think it should be in the pulpit very little. But understand this. At the end of the day, we need to inform our people what God wants them to know. This people does not need God. This people rejects God. This people gets their king. You know who that king is. Who'd they pick? They picked Saul. Why? Because he's bigger than everybody else. Huh? They chose Saul because he's bigger than everybody else. He stood head and shoulders above the rest. That's the truth, by the way. What happened on his inauguration day? Huh? Do you know what happened on his inauguration day? He went and hid. The tallest man in Israel was chicken. What'd you get, Israel? A chicken. By the way, we got a chicken right now, too. Let me tell you something. Do you know why? Think about this. By the way, I think President Bush was a chicken, too, so stick that in your craw. Let me help you right now. They got a chicken. That never ended. Who fought Goliath? The tallest man in Israel? Who fought Goliath? There sat Saul in his throne. Man, I'm not doing that. Huh? Saul fought very few battles. They wanted us a king, like all other nations. Huh? The king led the charge into the battles. I'm almost done. Saul, so full of pride. The people of Israel, so full of pride. We don't need God anymore. You know when the next good king was? David. Why? He needed God. Who really defeated Goliath that day? God did. God did. A boy came out there and said, you know what? I can't defeat you, but my God can. As we look at Samuel, oh, what a good preacher. Oh, my soul, what a great preacher Samuel was. Samuel's a great preacher. That thing's coming to lives. That's the way it works out. But understand this, at the end of the day, Samuel was rejected as a preacher of God because the people no longer wanted or needed God. In our lives today, in our lives, the battles that you face, you ought to need God. But I'm going to tell you right now, beyond the battles, you should need Him every day. If you don't take your eyes off Him in your daily lives, He'll keep your borders clear. If you don't take your eyes off Him in your daily lives, every single day that you walk this earth needing God in everything, I want to read about Him. Why? Because I have to. I need to. I want to. I want to pray to Him. Why? Because I need to. I want to. I want to be at soul winning. Why? Because I need to. I want to. I want to be at church services. Why? Because I need to. I want to. I need God. I need more God, not less God. I need more God, not less God. I need more preaching, not less preaching. I need more time with God, not less time with God. I'm going to tell you, you need less time with the TV, less time with the computer, less time with your iPhone, less time with your iPad, and more time with God. Why? Because we need God. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this morning. I thank You for the Sunday school hour. Lord, I thank You for the preaching that's about to come. Lord, anoint my pastor. We need You. We need You. And Lord God, we need to hear from You today. Anoint my preacher. Anoint my preacher. Lord, speak through him in a very special way. Let us hear from You today, not from him. Let us glean something from Your word that we can apply to our lives. And Lord God, let us come to a position that we know we're not worthy. We know we need You. I believe that's our biggest problem today. We stop needing God. Lord, help us to need You more. Help us to not make that transition to where we put our trust in men. That's what Israel did. They put their trust in men because they didn't need You anymore. That's the worst place you can put your trust is in a man. Lord, help us today. Help us today to have a great day in church. Let them be injury-free and everything go well out of the church property today. And Lord, please be with everything spoken. Oh, Lord God, please come down. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Break for about 5 minutes.